Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mamre by Avram Gold. All right, and then Mezekes Bam Metzia Daf Kuftez on the end of the ninth parak Hamakabel and the beginning of the tenth parak Habayis Va'aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkon, and a bai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Basin to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof, but yachaliton ad kadei demehen, and he may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession, and no witnesses saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he did not, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. The Gemara wonders if Abai disagrees with this ruling and quotes an incident where goats ate some barley in the Ardah, and the barley owner seized the goats and claimed a large amount of damage to his barley. Shmuel's father ruled that he's believed to claim up until the goat's value, since he could have claimed that he had purchased the goats. The Gemara answers that in that case, he would have been believed to claim he purchased the goat since they're not normally rented or lent. This knife, however, is something occasionally lent or rented, and Rav Huna bar Ravin wrote, "Dvarim asuin l'hashil l'haskir," if someone is holding items which are commonly lent out or rented, and he claims to have purchased them, he is not believed. Rav would respond that people are careful with shechita knives which may become nicked, and do not lend them out. Point number two, the 10th parak begins, Abayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, shnayim chokim be'etzim be'avanim u'ba'afar, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures. V'roin e'u avanim asuas lishtaber, and we assess which stones were more likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. If the building collapsed downward, the lower story stones are more likely broken, and if the wall fell outward, the upper stones, which fell further, are more likely broken. The Gemara explains that the first ruling, that the stones are divided evenly, must be where the building fell at night, and the stones were cleared by people in the street who left, so we can't determine how the building fell. The Gemara asks, "V'lichus v'rishus d'man yasmin?" Let us see in whose property the stones are sitting after they were cleared away, and the other party seeking to take them will be subject to hamotzi mechaber ol avaraya. The Gemara answers that the case is where the stones are on a property they jointly own, or neither owns, or that such partners usually allow each other to keep things in each other's property. And point number three, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, Hari Ba'aliya Yorid V'dar Lamata, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment, Achi Yitakin Lo Aliyah, until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rabbi Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rav explains the case is Baruba, where most of the floor collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Bar Arba, where only four square tefachim of floor collapsed. Rabba holds Adam Dar Chetzi Lamata V'Chetzi Lamala. A person can live partially below and partially above. So if most of the upper story is intact, you can only use the lower story to replace this missing space. Shmuel holds a person cannot be expected to live on two different floors and may move downstairs if a significant portion of the floor collapsed. The Mishnah's case is where the landlord said, Aliyah Zosha Agav. The Mishnah's case is where the landlord said, Aliyah Zosha Agavi buys Z. I'm renting to you this upper story, which is on top of this lower story, thereby committing the lower story to the tenant if the upper one collapses. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara relates, a man once seized a shechita knife as a mashkon, and Abai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Basin to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof, and he may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession, and no witnesses saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he did not, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. The Gemara wonders if Abai disagrees with this ruling and quotes an incident where goats ate some barley in the Ardah, and the barley owner seized the goats and claimed a large amount of damage to his barley. Shmuel's father ruled that he's believed to claim up until the goat's value, since he could have claimed that he had purchased the goats. The Gemara answers that in that case, he would have been believed to claim he purchased the goat since they're not normally rented or lent. This knife, however, is something occasionally lent or rented, and Rav Huna bar Ravin wrote, "Dvarim asuin l'hashil l'haskir," if someone is holding items which are commonly lent out or rented, and he claims to have purchased them, he is not believed. Rav would respond that people are careful with shechita knives which may become nicked, and do not lend them out. Point number two, the 10th parak begins, Abayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, shnayim chokim be'etzim be'avanim u'ba'afar, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures. V'roin e'u avanim asuas lishtaber, and we assess which stones were more likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. If the building collapsed downward, the lower story stones are more likely broken, and if the wall fell outward, the upper stones, which fell further, are more likely broken. The Gemara explains that the first ruling, that the stones are divided evenly, must be where the building fell at night, and the stones were cleared by people in the street who left, so we can't determine how the building fell. The Gemara asks, Velix the Rishus the Man Yasmin. Let us see in whose property the stones are sitting after they were cleared away, and the other party seeking to take them will be subject to Hamotzi Mechavero Avaraya. The Gemara answers that the case is where the stones are on a property they jointly own, or neither owns, or that such partners usually allow each other to keep things in each other's property. And point number three, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed, and the homeowner does not want to repair it, Hari Ba'ali Yorid Vidar Lamata, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment, Achi Yitakin Lo Aliyah, until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rabbi Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rav explains the case is Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Bar Arba, where only four square tefachim of floor collapsed. Rabba holds Adon Dar Chetzi Lamata VeChetzi Lamala. A person can live partially below and partially above, so if most of the upper story is intact, you can only use the lower story to replace this missing space. Shmuel holds a person cannot be expected to live on two different floors, and may move downstairs if a significant portion of the floor collapsed. The Mishnah's case is where the landlord said, Aliyah Zosh Agav. The Mishnah's case is where the landlord said, Aliyah Zu Shal Gabi Bai Ze. Aliyah Zu Shal Gabi Bai Ze Ani Maskilach. I'm renting to you this upper story, which is on top of this lower story, thereby committing the lower story to the tenant if the upper one collapses. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, our standard Siman is haircuts, and we often use a barber in the Siman. So here goes. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made. Once again, slow motion. The barber, that must be learned off, kufta zayin, hair cuts. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkon, and a bai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Beis Din to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof and may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession and no edim saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he didn't, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. So the barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Habayis Baliyah Shel Shnayim Shenafu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures, and we assess which stones were most likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. So the barber sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rav Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rabbi explains the case is Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Bar Arba, where only four square tefachim of four collapsed. So once again, the barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Kuf Yud Beis, so the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The owner of the Rubik's Cube store, Rubik's Cube, that must be more than Kuf Yud Beis. The owner of the Rubik's Cube store, who had transferred the wages of one employee over to the supermarket next door so he wouldn't transgress Baal Talin, which reminds us, the mission the previous daf taught, Himchal Eitzel Chanvani or Eitzel Shulchani, if the employer transferred the employee to a storekeeper or money changer to be paid, which Rashi explains means that he transferred the debt to them from which the employee draws food or money for their wages, the employer does not violate Baal Talin if he's not paid on time. So, the owner of the Rubik's Cube store, who transferred the wages of one employee over to the supermarket next door, so he wouldn't transgress
Baltalin was taken aback when one of his workers came and swore in front of Beis Din that he wasn't paid on time, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught, Sachir b'zmano nishba b'noto. If a hired worker claims his pay when it is due, he may swear he was not paid and collect it. The Gemara asks why the rabbis institute this law, and ultimately explains, Baal Habayi is tor b'polimu. The employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. So, the owner of the Rubik's Cube store, who had transferred the wages of one employer over to the supermarket next door, so he wouldn't transgress, Baltalin, was taken aback when one of his workers came and swore in front of a basin that he wasn't paid on time, bringing his contract as proof over the specific amount that was owed, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if an employee swears to collect because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, the same should hold true when they dispute the amount of wages he stipulated. Yet, a brisa teaches that an employee must bring proof where they dispute the amount agreed upon for payment. The Gemara answers, "Kitzitza vada mitcha dechiri la inshi." People certainly remember the amount of a stipulation despite preoccupation with workers.
Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The Shliach Basin was a bit of a geek. Geek? That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shliach Basin was a bit of a geek and used a mushroom snatching tool to grab a mushroom from a borrower in the street, which reminds us the next mission states regarding a lender that he may not seize the security from the borrower if he fails to pay except in Basin, and he may not enter the borrower's house to take the security of his, as the Pasuk says, Bechutz Ta'amod, you shall stand outside. Shmuel says the Shliach Basin may grab a mushroom from the borrower in the street, but he may not seize a mushroom by entering his house. So the Shliach Basin was a bit of a geek and used a mushroom snatching tool to grab a mushroom from a borrower in the street while making sure to leave two beds in his house, one for eating on and one for sleeping on, that were at least dalet amos apart, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa that a Shliach Basin must leave two beds for the borrower, one for sleeping on and one for eating on. These are necessary because of Shmuel's statement that he said he knew the cure for all maladies except for three, one of them being one who eats bread and does not walk dalet amos before going to sleep. Therefore, one needs a separate bed for eating. So the Shliach Basin, who was a bit of a geek and used a mushroom snatching tool to grab a mushroom from a borrower in the street while making sure to leave two beds in his house, one for eating on and one for sleeping on, that were at least dalet amos apart, handed out crayons to Jews on the street, reminding them that despite their financial circumstance, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hen, which reminds us, Abai listed four Tanaim who hold Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hen, all people of Yisrael are like princes.
Daf Kuf Yadod, so the Siman Daf Kuf Yadod is a kiddie amusement park. So here goes. The children at the kiddie amusement park, that must be on Daf Kuf Yadod, kiddie. The children at the kiddie amusement park who were waiting in line at the Mesadrin booth, where someone would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arachim pledges, but not their Hektish ones, which reminds us we have Malchuk's whether we are a Mesader when it comes to a pledge of Hektish. Barpada and Ilfa say we do not, based on the Kavach Homer from a Balcho, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds that we do. So, the children at the kiddie amusement park, who are waiting in line at the Mesadrin booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arachim pledges, but not their Hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the instant Rabba Bar Avoa meeting Elio in a cemetery of idolaters, and Elio taking him to Gan Eden, telling him to use his cloak to collect leaves in order to become wealthy. So, the children at the kiddie amusement park, who were waiting in line at the Mesadrin booth, where some would assess their basic needs for collecting the Arachim pledges, but not their Hektish ones, watch one boy do the idolater cemetery run, where the goal was to use a cloak to pick up fragrant leaves, right next to where another boy was playing Pledge Pursuit, pretending to be a lender and retrieving the mushroom from Yosomim after his borrower played dead. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Mishkano, if the lender took a mushroom from the borrower and returned it to him when he needed it, umes, and the borrower died, shomto me al gabibanav, the lender may pull it off his sons for collection. Although one normally cannot collect metaltim from Yosomim, this lender can because he acquired the mushroom.
Daf Kuf Tezvav. So the Siman Daf Kuf Tezvav is a katoris maker. So here goes.
The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, katoris, that must be on Daf Kuf Tezvav. The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker, as a mashkon, which reminds us, the next mission states, Amanda ben Shia, Nia ben Shia Ashira, a widow, whether she's poor or wealthy, em mashkinoisa, we do not take a mashkon from her, because the Torah says, we'll talk about Begat Amanda, you shall not take as security the garment of a widow. In a brisa, this ruling is quoted from Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon argues and says, one may take a mushroom from a wealthy widow. The Torah only prohibited taking a mushroom from a poor widow because he must return it daily, and you would thereby give her a bad name among her neighbors who would suspect her of improper conduct. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based on whether we're dorish, time and akra, whether we expand the reasons from the pasuk. So the lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon wisely left behind her portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malkas, which reminds us, the next mishnah states that one who takes a portable mill as a mashkon transgresses a love, and is chayiv for two kalim, because the Torah writes them separately. Ulyachbo rechayim v'rachiv, ye shall not take a lower millstone or upper millstone for security. There's malchokas whether one is also chayiv for taking kol davar she'osim bo ochel nefesh, anything used for food preparation, because the pasuk says, ki nefesh hu chovel, for he is taking a life as a security. So the lender took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon, wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malchus, after recalling how he was lashed twice the previous Pesach for eating the carbon Pesach partially raw, which reminds us, Rava says if one ate a carbon Pesach na, partially raw, he incurs two sets of malchus, one for the specific na of the pasuk, and another for the general prohibition of ki im sli esh, unless it's roasted over a fire. If he ate a cooked, he incurs malchus for mevushel, cooked, as well as for ki im sli esh. If he ate partially raw and cooked, he's chayiv for all three prohibitions. Abai says ein lokin olav shebakolos, one does not incur malchus for a general prohibition. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we have malchukas whether a shulich based in can enter the borrower's house to take a mashkon? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 2, which daf do you discuss whether a lender who said he lost the shtar of the mashkon is believed? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 3, which daf do you discuss malchus for ki'im sli eish regarding the carbon pesach? That's on daf Kuftesvav. Good. Number 4, which daf do we discuss a rented upper story which partially collapsed with the upper tenant living on the first floor until the homeowner repairs the second story? That's on daf Kuftesvav. Good. Number 5, which daf do we know that there's no baltalin where shaliach hires the employee? That's on daf Kufyadav. Good. Number 6, which daf do we discuss the case of one taking a shechita knife as a mashkon? That's on daf Kuftazai. Good. Number 7, which daf do you discuss whether one can take a mashkon from a wealthy widow? That's on daf Kuftazvav. Good. Number 8, which daf do you discuss the collection time for one hired for several hours of the night? That's on daf Kufyadav. Good. Number 9, which daf do you discuss the number of prohibitions for taking a mill as a mashkon? That's on daf Kuftesvav. Good. Number 10, which daf do we discuss dividing building materials of a collapsed building of two floors belonging to two people? That's on daf Kuftesvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.